And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Monday, December 4th, 2017. A lot of news to get into. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. By the way, we had a great Patreon meeting with patrons last evening. I want to thank everyone who joined, who spent some time with us. We were talking about a number of different issues, and thank you for your support, and thanks for joining us last night. It was great to meet and talk with people face to face, so to speak, virtually face to face. Anyway, I remarked to my wife afterwards how lucky we are to have so many people that are just supportive of what we do. You know, it's a great thing. By the way, Portions Life program brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Hey, 20% off all bouquets, $29 or more. Just go to ProFlowers.com. Use our coupon code Hagmann at checkout. That's 20% off of all bouquets of $29 or more. ProFlowers.com for this holiday season. Go to ProFlowers.com. Use our code Hagmann at checkout. Great company. By the way, they're candy cane roses. Oh, it's just they're great. In fact, I got them for my wife, and she loves them. It's just one of the best. ProFlowers.com. But, okay, so we've got all sorts of news breaking out everywhere. And we can kind of tell you what the headlines are going to be. I spent my morning show talking about Michael Flynn, what happened last week. But there's more to this, because just recently, and I mean within the last couple of hours, I saw something, and I've got a question. Sturzok, the FBI agent that was in charge, or that number two guy, well, the FBI agent that was in that extramarital tryst and also involved in the Hillary Clinton stuff.
He sat in the meetings and interview with Hillary Clinton, and he is in some hot water now, as yesterday two Justice Department officials have confirmed that the department's Office of Inspector General is reviewing the role played in the Hillary Clinton email investigation by Peter.
And I mentioned this last night. I mentioned this on my daily show last week, and I mentioned this last night during the patron conference. But here's something I did not notice, and I think this bears attention. When was he reassigned, Sturzok?
Reassigned from
the field to human resources, which, by the way, personnel, which, by the way, is a humiliating reassignment. But when? I just noticed this.
I'll guess right before the Clinton probe.
He's reassigned this summer.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Wait a second.
Okay.
When did the news break?
Don't know.
Friday? Saturday?
Sunday, I think.
All right. Within the last 72 hours, right? Why the delay? Think about this. That news did not break until after Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI. There's something really strange here. And strange, encouraging strange. It almost appears as if there's this blowback taking place. There's a... how can I put this? In this case, a 3D chess game taking place, a chess game with respect to Donald Trump. Now, think back when did Donald Trump go to the CIA, stand in front of the wall of stars, the fallen CIA agents? What did he say during that conversation or during that speech? There was one thing he said, and in fact, Michael Flynn, I believe, was there. What did he speak about? There was one word he used that I want everyone to pay attention to. He would use the word column. Columns. Build this without columns.
Okay.
Okay. What's that in reference to? In parlance, in intelligence parlance. Columns. Fifth column. Build this without columns. A fifth column. I think if I'm reading this right, I'm starting to say, hey, I've been on this so long, man, my eyes are bleeding, but I got to tell you, if I'm reading this right, all of this has to do, I believe, Donald Trump, Michael Flynn, Donald Trump, perhaps, this is my belief, I'm working on this, this is kind of, I'm inviting you into my conference table here, but I'm starting to think that Donald Trump made that announcement during the speech at the CIA headquarters that referenced the columns where Flynn was present, and so keep that in the back of your mind, referencing of course columns, and then now working backwards with the news, Sterzak being reassigned to human resources, coming that news coming after and only after Flynn pled guilty. There's something here, I believe. There's something to hold our attention or to direct our attention to what Donald Trump is doing or has done with respect to the Mueller investigation, kind of fighting back against this deep state attack against Donald Trump. He's calling out the columns back in January, calling out the infiltrators in the CIA. And don't forget, about Obama and Hillary. Well, hatred against Michael Flynn. What? Why? Why was there a hatred against Flynn? You know the answer to that. The hatred was due to Flynn's position on Islamic terrorism and the United States assisting ISIS over in the Middle East, something Obama and Hillary had done. Bottom line, walking this back, looking at this with a bigger lens. I believe that we're witnessing, in this case, this chess game of maneuvers. Follow me on this. Donald Trump is fighting back, pushing back. He drew the line in the sand in his speech at the CIA headquarters. He said, we're going to build this without columns, referencing the CIA and the intelligence industry. That's when everybody was kind of getting moved around and pushed around and fired and reassigned. Then Michael Flynn was sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. And Donald Trump fights back, but the news did not break until this past weekend about Sterzak. So I think the reason I'm connecting all this together is I think that there is a dose or a measure of deep state pushback by Donald Trump, and I think Donald Trump is holding maybe a pocket ace here, and I think that there might be some serious blowback from the Trump administration against the CIA, against the weaponized intelligence apparatus, and against the media that's been reporting on this. That's just my. Perhaps it didn't make sense on that, but that's kind of what I'm. You have to look at the bigger picture, I guess, and follow the bouncing ball. When the DOJ failed to do a number of interviews with respect to the Clinton, or did interviews but did them poorly with respect to the Clinton emails, and I think this is going to come into play as well. So anyway, I just wanted to lead off with that. If you're uncertain what I'm referring to, go back and listen to today's show, my show. And then, Joe, you and John, what did you guys talk about today?
Well, we talked about a number of things, from what was going on with Michael Flynn. And, folks, go to HagmanReport.com. That's our home site. There you can get all the news and everything that's important that we put up there each and every day, as well as original content from other authors. We talked about a few things today, and some of them I'd like to get into in the first hour. We talked about the...
I'll defer to you. Go ahead.
We talked about the tweets, the anti... what was labeled anti-Muslim tweets that came from Donald Trump around the Thanksgiving holiday, where he tweeted three different Britain First videos that gained extreme backlash from not only media pundits here in America, but also politicians over in Europe, from Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, to Theresa May. And today there was an interesting article on Drudge Report from Yahoo News. Fear in London as acid attacks soar. Now, there's a interesting in this article. It details these huge increases of acid attacks that last year the British capital saw 454 acid attacks. That was up 261 from the year before, and it's even higher this year. But in this article, what they don't tell you is who is behind these acid attacks. Just about every single one, except one that I have seen in the news, was done by a Muslim or a Muslim refugee. There was one example where this happened, where it was a mentally unstable woman threw acid in another woman's face. But anyway, we talked about this a little bit because the blowback that Trump got from pointing out the behavior of Muslim refugees in Europe and in the West, and how they are trying to, you know, implement Sharia law, Muslim patrol zones, how they treat their women, how they treat non-believers. And he was taken to task, being called hateful, even said that his tweets, his retweets of the Britain First videos were going to bring more violence because of, in response to his tweets. But anyway, this article documents the huge increase in acid attacks, this just only in London. But again, they do not talk about who is perpetrating these attacks. And that's very frustrating. And then I want to go back to some things on Michael Flynn and Trump's response to Trump's latest response as to what happened. But first, I just want to make a quick announcement pertaining to the Hagmann Daily Show. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be doing something different, and we're going to continue to do this from now until the foreseeable future. We are going to be live from 12 to 1 on the Hagmann Daily Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we are going to be taking calls. Then we're going to put that broadcast up on Global Star, where it airs from 2 to 3. So I will put announcements out on Hagmann Report and social media tomorrow. And again, the broadcast will be live at 12 o'clock, and we're going to start integrating listener participation and calls into those shows. Just want to make sure we got that out there. But first, okay, the whole Flynn thing has been in the news all weekend, and I made a point not to pay attention to any mainstream media news coverage over this weekend, and I figured that they would continue to try to make the case that this Flynn lying to the FBI was equal to Trump-Russia collusion. And what's really interesting is, the media is continuing in its push to try to say that, you know, this is the smoking gun. Trump is going to be impeached. This is it for Trump. Well, there was a response from Trump today, and he threw in Hillary Clinton, as he likes to do, in his response. At the White House on Monday, before boarding Marine One, President Donald Trump said he felt badly for his former National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI last week, and added that the 2016 Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton lied many times to the FBI and nothing happened to her. Trump said, "I feel badly for General Flynn. I feel very badly. He's led a very strong life, and I feel badly. I will say this. Hillary Clinton lied many times to the FBI, and nothing happened to her. Flynn lied, and they destroyed his life. I think it's a shame." And then he goes on from there, continuing to show how much Hillary Clinton lied to the FBI and got away with it, yet Flynn apparently lied about a meeting that had that was of no consequence, yet he was fired. Now, one of the bigger talking points that is coming out of all of this Trump plea, the Flynn guilty plea, trying to drag Trump into it, is this, again, recall for the obstruction of justice calls. you have many people saying that they believe Mueller is going to level an obstruction of justice charge against Donald Trump, adding that some of his own tweets about the Flynn situation this time is the reason, is adding to that. Now, a prominent Democrat, Alan Dershowitz, is making news by saying this is completely false. There was no obstruction of justice, and you cannot charge a president with obstruction of justice for exercising his constitutional power. Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz on Monday said President Trump was within his rights as commander-in-chief when he fired former FBI Director James Comey and warned Democrats trying to take him down on the obstruction of justice charges won't succeed. You cannot charge a president with obstruction of justice for exercising his constitutional power to fire Comey and his constitutional authority to tell the Justice Department who to investigate and who not to investigate. That's what Thomas Jefferson did, Abraham Lincoln, and Roosevelt all did. We have precedents that clearly establish that, Dershowitz told Fox and Friends Monday morning. Now, what's interesting to me is they're bringing back this obstruction of justice charge for Trump firing Comey. And when Trump did that, there was no Russia investigation. Comey even testified under oath that Trump was not under any, or was not the focus of any investigation. So when Trump fired Comey, there was no investigation into the Trump-Russia collusion. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that there was. Just because Comey was fired does not mean that the investigation would have ceased or went away. It would have just been picked up by the next person in line. But they're trying to make the case that Trump interfered with the Russia investigation by firing Comey. And not to mention, this after Comey reopened the Hillary Clinton email probe, for whatever reason, just weeks before the election. And if you remember, that parade of Democrats, from Maxine Waters to Pelosi, all these people came out and said how Comey was incompetent, he had no credibility, he needs to go. Well, you know, Trump eventually took their advice and got rid of Comey. Now, Comey was a leaker to the FBI. I mean, he was wrong in so many ways, but he even admitted that he leaked some of the information in order to get a special prosecutor hired. Long story short, back to the Dershowitz, this is what he said. This is what this article closes out with. The issue came up Monday after Trump's lawyer, John Dowd, said the president cannot obstruct justice. One of Trump's tweets over the weekend suggested that that Trump knew his former National Security Advisor Flynn had lied to the FBI, which could imply obstruction of justice. On Sunday, Senate Judiciary Committee ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein said she is part of a group creating a case for obstruction against Trump. Dershowitz warned that in order to go after the president for obstruction, clearly illegal acts would have to have been committed. They say that it would have to be violence, threats of violence, bribery, intimidation. He went over a list. I heard it on Hannity today.
Okay, let me clarify something on your behalf, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, obstruction, perjury, lying. I'm just trying to think of the different, but obstruction of justice, for example, or perjury. That's a process crime. Just so everyone understands this, we can get our language
straight.
Process crime. And what's a process crime? It's an offense charged by a prosecutor alleging criminal conduct related to the investigation of a crime, but not the crime itself.
Okay.
All right. So go ahead with your.
As I said, there was, you know, Trump. It was clear, even from Comey's mouth, that one, Trump was not the focus of any investigation, and two, after Comey was fired, he even issued a statement, said that the president was well within his constitutional rights and authority to do what he did, and Comey did not have a problem with it. See, what's going on here now is that I think the left is a little disappointed that more didn't come out on Flynn, that even though the reports of Flynn cooperating were made, that it is not far enough. The smoking gun was not shown, and Trump is really fleeing clear from these charges. Now, there was an interesting story,
I do have something to say about that. Go ahead.
On Friday, it was reported when this news of Flynn first broke, on ABC News with Brian Ross. This is what he reported. He said Michael Flynn is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said to this point. Now, if it was candidate Trump communicating with the Russians or directing people around him to communicate with the Russians, yes, that would be illegal. But one thing that this ABC report
stressing candidate Trump, they got it wrong.
Now, if you remember The View's Joy Behar, when she was handed this report by one of her producers while on air, she read it with glee.
I played
clapping.
That.
The audience was clapping. Everybody was so happy. Well, what happened is that ABC had to issue a retraction and apology, and ABC News anchor Brian Ross, who was the one reporting this, was suspended for 4 weeks because the report was completely wrong. It was not when Trump was a candidate. It was when he was president-elect. And not only is that not against the law, it is part of his duties as president-elect to talk to these people. He directed Flynn to talk to over 35 different world leaders. There is no crime here, and they're trying to turn it into a crime. What Flynn is in trouble for, lying to the FBI about a meeting that he was legally allowed to have that was part of his job. That's why none of this makes sense. And it's unfortunate that Flynn had to, for whatever reason, he lied to the FBI. It did not matter. He did not do anything wrong as it pertains to contacting these foreign dignitaries on behalf of President-elect Trump. Now, why he lied to the FBI about it, I don't know, but that's what got him into trouble.
Well, there are four separate alleged lies. Lieutenant General Flynn copped out to, pled to. Four. And they all fall under Section 1001 of the U.S. Code. Now, of the Federal Penal Code. Now here's where it comes into play. This stems from Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's conversation on December 29th with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. And there were four issues was responding to the expulsion of the 35 Russian diplomats and the Russian sanctions. And then the other two were related to the UN and Israel. But the big part here is about the Russian sanctions. But Joe, what I want to jump in earlier, or want to press forward, is this. We all have seen, and I think that this is key, when you have a criminal suspect and you file charges or you indict a criminal suspect, what's the process, the normal process for a prosecutor to do if they want to get this suspect to talk or to cooperate? What's the MO? What's the usual process? I'll just answer the question. You hit them as hard as you can.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do.
Right, but I mean, you smack, you know what, for example, murder case. We're going to charge you with murder one, we're going to charge you, you know, and the list goes on and on and on, right?
Yeah, your family will be accomplices if you don't talk, you know, whatever you can use as leverage against a person.
And then you hit them with everything you got. And then you say, okay, well, you want to talk? You want to negotiate a plea? All right. Well, maybe we can drop that from murder one to, you know, murder two, or even involuntary manslaughter, or voluntary manslaughter, or whatever, or work downward. But you dangle a carrot. You lead off with your strongest card initially as a prosecutor. You don't lead off with some, inane process crime of lying to the FBI. So it makes me wonder if that's the best I got.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, even USA Today has a headline, if Michael Flynn's crime is all Robert Mueller has, it's time to move on. This article goes on to detail that Flynn's pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about a perfectly legal conversation he had during the presidential transition. Flynn should not have lied. Why he chose to remains a mystery, but the substance of one single count indictment against Flynn shows that special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation has strayed far from its original purpose. And just to say something on what you talked about on in a criminal investigation, usually in a criminal investigation, a prosecutor or detective will start with a crime. and then work to see who committed it and why they committed it. Here, there was no crime.
That's true.
And they're going after people and looking for crimes in those people's lives.
That's very true.
Which is completely, you know, upside down, and it makes no sense unless it is being done for the purposes of a political witch hunt, which obviously this is. And anyway, this article from USA Today is making the case that we've come a long way from hyperventilating about Russia hacking the election a year ago, and a year later, there is nothing to find, there's nothing on Trump, and it is leaving whoever wrote this piece, James Robbins, to say that since we have not seen anything so far, and nothing is forthcoming, Robert Mueller investigation should be shut down. Even Leon Panetta came out and said it's a stretch to say any contact broke the law. What Flynn was doing was part of his job duties and job description on the transition team, and that the Mueller's grasping at straws as this is all he's going after.
And so stay with us after the break. I've got a paper here that you're going to want to everyone's going to want to listen to, and this is dated January 12th of 17 that relates to exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, and since we are up against the break, want to bring you a quick word from Greenovative. We'll hit this on the other side, but Greenovative still has their 30% discount all the way until December 10th, 30% off the entire store. You can't beat it. So we're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about that for just a few moments because they got some new items, some interesting things. And we got a great show. We got next half hour news. Then author Bill Federer will be joining us. And then the third hour, Steve Quayle and Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources will be our guests. And we're going to be talking about prepping. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Back to this Monday, December 4th edition of the Hagman Report. I almost said Hagman Daily Show again. We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to bring you some quick words here and then get right back into it. Want to talk to you about Greenovative as we are in this holiday shopping season. The Greenovative Power Cell is a portable power source that makes power anytime, anywhere, in any weather, day or night, by simply adding salt water to the unit. Greenovative is continuing their huge 30% discount sale until the 10th of December. That's 30% off the entire store. You have to use the discount code HAGMAN in order to receive your discount. Just like last year, they're sending out all units ordered by December 10th to be delivered before Christmas, so make sure you take advantage of the 30% discount before September 10th to get what you order before Christmas. December 10th. I don't know what I said, but December 10th before Christmas. The folks at Greenovative want to thank the Hagman audience for their support and hope to keep providing useful Greenovative products. Go to the website, greenovative.com, and get the 30% off store-wide with your discount code Hagman. Thank you, Alan Riggs, and thank you to greenovative.com.
Very good. Now, right before the break, I was talking about this one paper here. This flew under my radar, and perhaps maybe it did not fly under yours. This is dated January 12th of 2017. Office or Department of Justice, OIG, which is the Office of Inspector General, announces initiation of review. Again, this relates to what we're seeing happening today. Now, this is a year hence, almost. Okay, now think about this. The OIG, the Inspector General at the Department of Justice, Inspector General Michael E. Horowitz, announced back on January 12th that in response to the request from numerous chairman and ranking members of Congress oversight committees, various organizations and members of the public, the OIG will initiate a review of the allegations regarding certain actions by the Department of Justice in the FBI in advance of the 2016 election. This is referencing now the handling of the Clinton email matter. Now, what did we see this number two FBI or this FBI agent, Sturzok, get transferred for? changing the wording from the gross negligence to carelessness or whatever it was. This, if you go back and look at the timeline of this, this is extremely interesting because we're just getting word of this now. When he was bumped to the personnel department back sometime during the summer, and you go back to January and you see that the OIG has been doing a review, allegations that the FBI Department of FBI policies were not followed in connection with or actions leading up to or related to the Comey's announcement on July 5th of 2016 and the director's letters to Congress on October 28th and November 6th. So there is an investigation going on by the Office of the Inspector General. And it goes, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 5 points it goes through, including but not limited to allegations that decisions regarding the timing of the FBI's release of certain Freedom of Information Act documents on October 30th and November 1st and the use of a Twitter account to publicize the same were influenced by improper considerations. So this, to me, is a very important piece of paper. It's an important announcement because it provides the backdrop that verifies that there was improper activity taking place within the DOJ and FBI. So that's something that I want, I'm going to be following up on. Isn't that, that's interesting.
Okay, from today, from DOJ and FBI threatened with contempt of Congress for hiding info on anti-Trump FBI investigator.
This has been talking about. And there's been a blackout, a media blackout on this. So if you, and I knew that there was an investigation, but I did not know that this notice of investigation existed. And I think that this is an important thing because it delineates exactly what Horowitz, as the OIG or as the Inspector General for the over the Department of Justice, is looking at. From, and again, this is January 12th, and now we see during the summer this FBI agent transferred to personnel, a demotion, an incredible demotion, but I go back to the timing. This is after the Flynn pleading. So there is a war taking place within the government. It's the agents of the deep state, the permanent state, or the permanent government, if you will, the bureaucrats, the Obama holdovers, and the loyalists to Obama and Clinton, against those of us who are fighting for freedom. Now, before I continue on, I want to mention Pro Flowers. You know, my wife, I love her to death. I sent her a great bouquet of candy cane roses, and she loved them. And you know, there are people you won't get to see this holiday season. For example, my sister-in-law is not going to be coming to stay with us this holiday. So what we've done, don't tell her now, but we did, in fact, we selected a specific delivery date where she's going to get this beautiful bouquet of flowers from Pro Flowers. This is my go-to company, or my go-to location for all things gift-related. Look, a bouquet of festive plants from Pro Flowers, it's just perfect because it's not the same old traditional gift. It says so much more. It brings a message of love, of friendship, it's just beautiful. And by the way, they're best-selling candy cane roses. They're a great option for a holiday gift. If you want to go with a holiday gift, you know, or even a December birthday or anniversary. Now, you can always go with their classic mini Christmas tree that comes with lights and ornaments. This is just absolutely great. I sent someone one of these trees as well this year. And in fact, for their office. I'll just leave it at that. Pro Flowers bouquets and plants are guaranteed to stay fresh, and you control the delivery date. Like I was saying earlier, I selected the delivery date when I wanted them delivered. Pro Flowers gives you more bloom for your buck. Big, beautiful flowers. More stems for your freshness. I've never seen flowers last this long. And the beautiful aroma with all of the flowers, it's just great. In fact, in our family room, that's all you can smell is this flower aroma. It's beautiful. And the impression that it made on my wife and the people who come over and visit, who see it, just amazing. You want to get 20% off of all bouquets of $29 or more? Let me tell you how to do this. Again, 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season. All you have to do is go to proflowers.com and use our code Hagman at checkout. This is a fantastic offer. That's proflowers.com, code Hagman at checkout for 20%. If I said anything else, I'm sorry. 20% off of all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season. Let me repeat that. 20% off of all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season. Go to proflowers.com. Use our code work Hagman at checkout.
Back to what we were talking about with ABC, Brian Ross. Some new information has come out that the ABC News president is furious over this mishap. James Goldston excoriated his staff on Monday over Brian Ross's major error on a report about the former NSA Michael Flynn. And he went on to say that Ross, the network's chief investigative reporter, will no longer cover stories related to President Trump. Also, he went on to just tear apart his staff, saying that he spent the whole weekend getting just destroyed by friends and viewers of ABC. Over 250,000 tweets were negative about the ABC news coverage of the Michael Flynn story. So, of course, Goldston, the president over there, took that out on his staff and pulled Brian Ross from ever covering the president again. And he went on to issue a statement saying that it was just plain wrong, and he made the decision to remove Brian so something like this will never happen on air. And he goes on to make calls to his staff to better vet the information so mistakes like this don't happen. And it's an interesting read. It's a very long one, but that's right up there on Drudge. And also, I don't know if you saw this, that Jim Acosta, he is in the news again, calling for journalists to resist. Acosta, when journalists are attacked, journalists have to resist.
I saw that.
He's one of the ones who has been very unprofessional and loud in some of these White House press corps meetings. Excuse me. CNN senior White House correspondent Jim Acosta on Monday continued to vocally criticize the president and his attacks on the media during the inaugural Journalism Ethics Summit, which is intended to focus on something political reporting and increasing trust in the media. Acosta commented on his behavior while reporting behavior that has been criticized by some of his own colleagues. But what Acosta is saying is that journalists need to become more vocal. They need to speak out against this president because the president is attacking journalists and journalism in general. Acosta says reporters who are not part of the resistance, but says that they all need to become part of the resistance. And it's really funny because if you haven't noticed, it seems like all mainstream media journalists are part of the resistance, Acosta being one of them. But they are seeming to continue to take issue with the label of fake news. And Yahoo has published a poll that says that the Americans' trust in media is growing since President Trump has become inaugurated, which I find really hard to believe. But I guess back to the main issue at hand. Mueller, the Russia collusion meddling investigation, where does it go from here? You have, what, Kushner is one person left who might be feeling the wrath of Mueller, but beyond that, who else is left? What else is left to go after?
I have a feeling they're going to indict Roger Stone.
For what?
I'm just going to stop it right there.
So it's somebody they want to indict, so yep. They're going to go find something to
I believe that would be a travesty of justice, obviously. Regardless of what you think of Roger Stone, I happen to like him. I happen to he's got inside information. I think he's incredibly intelligent and plugged in the political circles. Again, whatever you think of his personal life, I don't care about that. I'm putting that aside for a moment and just looking at relative to relative to this issue. I think they want to. I think he's going to be collateral damage. I think they're going to go after Kushner. I think Donald Trump Jr. And ultimately, the big prize, of course, is Donald Trump himself.
Right.
And the of course the objective here is to take down the presidency and the president and reverse the election of 2016. That's what I think is happening.
And with all the insane news coverage about Flynn, some of the better news has gone underreported or unreported, like the tax plans, the tax reform tax bill that was pushed through narrowly in the Senate by a 51-49 majority. All's left is now is for president to sign the bill. And a headline here on Drudge is tax cut Christmas, stocks smash more records. Also, what the president did today with public lands is very interesting. He reduced the amount of public lands held by the federal government, the biggest reduction in United States history. Trump dramatically shrinks Bear Ears National Monument and slashes another by half in the name of states' rights, as he says public land will once again be used for public use. President Trump's unveiling a plan Monday in Utah to dramatically scale back two national monuments, calling it an important move for states' rights. And I agree with him on this. We've seen, if you look at maps on the, especially of the western half of the United States, I believe the federal government owns, what, 40-some percent?
Heck of a lot.
50% of all the lands, you know, west of the Mississippi. Well, this is something that Trump said he would do during his campaign, which was give back some of that land to the local states and communities. And he had done just that today. The families and communities of Utah love this land, and they are very happy. They say they know how to protect it. They know how to conserve it. They have for generations and will for generations to come, and don't need the federal government taking it over for whatever use that they want to use it for.
Yep.
But this is one of 27 national monuments that Trump has ordered the Interior Secretary to review earlier this year. So this is just the beginning of public lands being restored again to the public, or federal lands being restored to the public for media backlash over this. But again, another Trump campaign promise we see him fulfilling.
And I think that's driving the progressive nuts. Any time you see something like this take place, and the Daniel Horowitz was on KFAQ, Pat Campbell's show today. But by the way, I'm just curious if anyone out there listening to this broadcast listens to Pat Campbell or heard me on Pat Campbell. Anyway, Daniel Horowitz was on Pat Campbell after I appeared. It's a powerhouse station out of Tulsa, KFAQ, and he was talking about Donald Trump's tax plan. But that's kind of that's been very much misrepresented. I think that's going to do a lot with respect to job creation, job growth, the unburdening the businesses, and especially the smaller businesses, not major corporations necessarily, the smaller businesses. If you look at the tax plan, now I'm no accountant. Oh, I have a question on this. Did this tax plan that's going through, is that releasing or stopping the penalty from
yes.
Obamacare?
Yes.
All right. It's important to know.
Yeah, and it reduces the corporate tax from whatever it is, 35% down to 20%. Now, the one thing I'm not sure of that,
that's
I believe...
That's pass-through income, by the way. So just so people know, that's a direct in-your-pocket for people, just so people understand that's passed. Well, you know what? I'm not an accountant, so I'm not going to discuss that, but it's good for business. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is good for business. The only thing I wasn't sure about, I haven't read through the changes or the provisions, but when the Senate kind of restructured the bill to be able to get the votes, from what I understand, they added a provision that if the tax bill, when it passes, if it doesn't generate the economic advantages it says it will, a tax increase is going to kick in after 6 or 7 years or something like that. So that's one thing I was a little curious about that I did not have time to get
we're
into.
Yeah, we're going to look at that. I think one of our meetings, pre-show prep meetings, will include the tax plan. I think we should really be able to. In fact, we might even bring Horowitz back on to explain it. I mean, that'd be a good idea. By the way, anyone who does live in the Tulsa area, I just got to throw this in there because I like Pat Campbell a lot. Him and his wife, he's got a great family. He's got send him an email, or he's on Twitter. Just let him know that you like him and if you listen to him, or that, you know, thank him for having me on, because I do that. But because he's, I got to tell you, a conservative in, you know, he's in the heartland, but nonetheless, conservatives are under attack in the syndicated media and the mainstream media, and he's certainly under attack. But I wanted to mention that because he's such a great guy.
Okay.
All right. So anyway.
Switching gears here.
Go ahead.
This is an interesting story that came out this morning. The United States and South Korea launched large-scale air drills amid nuclear tension. Unprecedented joint Air Force drills between the U.S. and South Korea featuring hundreds of warplanes have kicked off despite dire warnings from Pyongyang and Moscow's calls to avoid the new provocations after the recent launch of North Korea's ICBM. It's called Vigilant Ace 18. The Vigilant Ace 18 drills, which Seoul claims are purely defensive in nature, will see hundreds of U.S. and South Korean aircraft honing their skills by attacking mock North Korean nuclear and missile objects in different wartime scenarios. Reporting from South Korea, they say for the first time they will feature six F-22 Raptor stealth jets that arrived in South Korea specifically for the war games, along with six F-35A stealths, and I believe the F-35s are the newer ones. The large-scale maneuvers, reportedly the largest ever combined Air Force drill between the allies, will also involve dozens of the fighter jets on both sides, as well as B-1 bombers and carrier-based electronic warfare aircraft. 12,000 personnel and 230 military aircraft will be engaged in the drills that will run until December 8th. Now, this is sparking some backlash again from Putin in Russia, saying it's a provocation to North Korea and that it could escalate the nuclear tensions between the two nations. While the drills are scheduled to go forward, as South Korea said, they are defensive in nature. I don't see how these drills are any more of a provocation than North Korea launching missiles into the Sea of Japan and continuing to increase their nuclear capabilities in this time of tension between the U.S. and North Korea. So will this turn into a hot war from these drills? I don't know.
I think it'd be a short one.
I don't see the problem. I mean, if North Korea is going to continue to threaten the nations around it, threaten the United States, threaten to obliterate South Korea and or America or Guam or Hawaii, then yes, we should be conducting drills for that inevitability in case he does decide to launch missiles at a number of targets, including the U.S., for our responses to be ready. So I see no problem with these drills whatsoever, but some in the international community do. And where will this lead? You know, will this one thing that James Perloff talked about when he came on our show is the ability of the United States in a conflict to provoke the other side into striking first. Is this that type of provocation that would actually start a hot war? I don't know. Let's hope not, but it's very possible.
That Chia Pet over there's got to be quaking in his boots. I don't know.
I think he's insane. I don't think he.
Well,
think about it. He was brought up. He's a third generation, king in North Korea. He's basically worshipped as a religious god by his people. He's never really faced any criticism.
Had a basketball player come over Rizzo?
Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
He's never, really faced any real challenges. Nobody is critical of him for fear of being executed. Nobody will go against anything he says. He's just basically a big unchecked baby who hasn't had a real reality check yet. And that kind of mentality and psychosis can lead somebody to do some crazy things, thinking that there are no consequences.
Yeah, that's very true. Another piece of news that I think everyone should really pay attention to. You know how we have infiltrators in our government, of course. You've got the communists and you've got the Muslims. Basically, two branches of the same tree. Yeah, the Democrats or the progressives.
Yeah.
It consists of either the communists or the Muslim sympathizers. Keith Ellison saying, and I quote, should President Donald Trump's plan to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital would be a quote horrible tragedy. Now think about this.
In what regards? In tragedy to who? Who is this hurting?
Well, he said that it is Donald Trump stomping all over what we've been trying to do as a nation to foster a negotiated two-state solution for many, many years. Doing this would jeopardize that two-state solution. And I think that the only two-state solution, this is my opinion now, is going to be only with a covenant that would be brokered via the, shall we say, the Antichrist kind of environment. I don't know. It would not be a good solution, in my view. The next Middle East peace is going to be one that would lead us directly into the biblical accounts, I believe, of an apocalyptic future. But
think about this: to reach the two-state peace deal, if it's the same deal that is talked about in Scripture as the in Daniel that a peace treaty is offered, wouldn't there have to be a war first?
Look, I'm not an expert on this. I guess. Psalm 83, a war, if you subscribe to that theory or that aspect, but whatever the Scripture does say. But regardless, Keith Ellison, the point is this, in my viewpoint, we've got a problem. We've got an infestation of communists and Muslims in our government, and some have been elected, others appointed, and others have been hired. And even Mueller, think back to what Mueller had done as FBI director by expunging the phrase Islamic terrorism from the training manuals of the FBI. Think about what the 8 years under Obama, just 7 years after the mass terrorist attack by Muslim terrorists, if you believe in the official narrative, why are you having these operational assets such as Mueller and others expunging the Islamic terrorism phrase from the manuals? You had Stephen Coughlin writing a 313-page manual that was just decimated by the military, saying, well, it's not true. And for example, the manual that he wrote talked about jihad, talked about the warfare, the techniques of the Muslims. And of course, that was not accepted readily. So all of this is this infiltration. So the point is not really what Ellison is talking about. My point is the infiltration by people like Ellison and by people, and we can go back to the House members. Don't forget, Ellison was one of the House members who had on payroll Imran Awan and Hina Alvi, the Awan cabal, as did Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as DNC, director of the DNC. So all of this is connected. I guess that's why I wanted to bring this up, because we're looking at this coup from within, this horrific infiltration. And we saw this before in post-World War II, in the post-World War II era with the communists. Senator Joe McCarthy was correct. We saw this under Clinton to a lesser degree, but still there. And then we saw this accelerated under Obama. And I think that this is perhaps represents our most dangerous period. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. All right, here on Global Star Radio Network and also BTR, that's Blog Talk Radio. Going to be right back. Coming up, William J. or Bill Federer. And it's going to be a great hour. Stay right where we're at.